first you told us only through you could we know God. And if we dared to question, he wouldn't spare the rod. For you we worked the soil, for you we dug the moors, for you we shed our blood and fought so many pointless wars. And now you try to tell us there's nothing we can do. You say the world around us belongs fairly to the few, but about 6 billion people no doubt will agree this world is our home, not your property. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who would enclose the land all around the earth, our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who've sacrificed the public good for your private gain. With our sweat we built the railroads, built cities on these shores. But because you own the money, you see that it's all yours. We laid the phone lines and the pipelines, and then right before our eyes, you see these things are taxes paid for. You now will privatize. Privatize the hospitals, privatize the schools, privatize the prisons for all those who break your rules. And preparing for the day when all the wells run dry, you say you own the very rain that falls down from the sky. But it's the commons, our right of birth. And you who'd own the water all around the earth, our future is your downfall when they cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. You claim to own the harvest with your Terminator seeds. You claim to own the genomes of every animal that breeds. You claim to own our culture and the music that we play. And with each song that we download to your coffers we must pay. You'd even own my name and you'd say it's for the best. Maybe you'll let us on your radio if our songs can pass your test. You own country, you own Western, you say you've given us a choice. You may own the airwaves, but you'll never own my voice. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who'd own the music all around the earth, our future is your downfall when you cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who would own everything all around the earth, our future is your downfall when you cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain.
Good evening and welcome to Corporations and Democracy for September 21st, 2023. This is the program that examines how corporations dominate our democracy and what citizens are doing to replace corporate dominance with true democracy. I'm Steve Scalmanini with co-host Annie Esposito and a number of other guests. Today is an unusual opportunity for Corporations and Democracy to take a look back at some history of the program and the issues for which it was created, as today is the 25th anniversary of the program. That's right, Corporations and Democracy has been on the air here at KZYX since the fall of 1998, 25 years ago. So with us today are enough hosts to make Cecil B. DeMille jealous. We have seven now of the regular hosts from over those 25 years. So I'd like to introduce them in the rough order for which they have hosted the program, starting with Tom Budeski. Welcome, Tom.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
And let's do that one more time.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. I am here. And so, go ahead. Do you have a question?
Well, and to Jim Tarbell with us this evening.
Nice to be here, Jim Tarbell.
Tony Rizzo is with us.
Great to be back again.
CJ Jones, you are with us by Zoom.
Yeah, I'm in Tucson, Arizona. Happy to be back on the air in Mendocino County.
And Jan Edwards could not make it this evening. But Linda McClure is here with us.
Hi, Steve and Annie. Thanks for having me.
And Annie, you want to say hello out there?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. We'll have our birthday party with everybody.
That's right. It is a party indeed. And again, I'm here with Steve Scalmanini. We wanted to start with a little history. This has been on the air for 25 years. So how the heck did this thing get started and whose idea was it? And what was going on in 1998 and 1997, for that matter, that was going on here in the county, which were the beginning of ideas for the program? Who would like to take that?
Now, I think I'll take that one.
Okay.
Tom Wodeski speaking here. At that time, a lot of us had some political education, starting for me with the Vietnam War in the 60s and the invasions or the U.S. interference in El Salvador and Chile, Guatemala, and all over the world, and fighting against those, protesting the wars. But finding out, and a lot of environmental issues became popular then too, and realizing that instead of, we're going to get burnt out and get nowhere fighting each individual issue, what is the deep roots of all these causes? What's in common of them? And a lot of us concluded it was corporate power, the war industries, they definitely like to have all these wars. And when I moved here, then there was the forestry issues, and the forestry industries definitely wanted to keep logging, over harvesting, and a lot of us recognize that's not going to be good. It's going to, besides damaging the environment, damaging the fisheries, the fishery industry is also going to, they're going to cut and run like as historically what happened with the timber industry. And we'd be left with the mills closing, which turned out to be what happened. So a lot of us got the notion that it is this corporate power, that they control the media and that they control the elections, really. We think we have democracy, but you see, even till today, most of the people in Congress and most of our politicians have to get reelected regularly, and they get their money, most of it, from the giant corporations and the super wealthy right-wing people. So how are we going to fight this? And fortunately, at that time, there were some organizations, other people coming to this conclusion, one of which was called Alliance for Democracy. And eventually, in this county, we had chapters in Ukiah and Point Arena and Fort Bragg, Mendocino. And another organization was called POCLAD, which was the Program on Corporations, Law, and Democracy, that did deep research on how corporations got this power, how they, help. They can use the Supreme Court even till today to overturn the will of the people. So, with this new knowledge, we wanted to share that with other people because lots of people are concerned about all these issues. And I happen to have started an environment radio show around the logging issues and fishery and a whole bunch of issues. So I had some radio experiences, and meeting with other people concerned about this, we said, well, we need a radio show about the whole picture, not just environment, but everything in our society that corporations are damaging, using their power to take away our democracy and change what needs to happen in this country. So I think that's how we started the show. We proposed it to the KZYX program director. I guess that was in 1998.
That old.
And it was accepted. And so that is how I understand the show began.
And I believe there was some meetings and activity on this overall issue of corporate issues, corporate dominance before before the radio program got initiated. And that was in the, I think, summer of 77, I believe. There were some classes going on, put on by POCLAD.
In 97.
Summer
of 97.
Summer of 97.
Yeah,
okay.
This is the summer of 97. I think Tom and Linda Perry and I all took these the workshops. So it's called Rethinking Corporations, Rethinking Democracy, mm-hmm. put on by POCLAD all around the country, down at the Occidental Center for Arts and Ecology. And people from POCLAD were there. It was a 2 or 3 day informational, educational workshop where we understood all this stuff. Coming out of that, Linda and Tom and I got together, and we knew about Alliance for Democracy, and we kind of formed our own little informal chapter, and people came, and we had meetings like once a month. But at the end of that time, we went, well, what are we going to do now? And I think maybe Tom suggested, and we all liked the idea of having a radio program. And at the same time, Judy Berry had cancer, and she had to retire from her program. And I'd been on the board and knew Teresa Simon, who was the program director. And she said, well, you know, here, why don't we slip you guys right in here? So we kind of just slipped right in the door. And here we are 25 years later, still doing it. Good job, everybody.
Indeed. And there are a few names, by that I didn't mention. I think I mentioned Jan Edwards. One of the other programmers from back in that era was
Molly Morgan.
Molly Morgan, it was. And you did mention Linda Perry, who was involved in the very early years there. So thank you for that. And that was Jim Tarbell speaking there for the moment. And then the other early programmer is with us today, and that is Tony Rizzo. You were involved in the beginning, I believe?
I started not right at the beginning. I think it was around 2001, and they asked me to just be a guest host with someone else, and we came on, and I still remember that. It was a tiny little studio in Mendocino. It was like a closet, and we interviewed John Jevons. And somehow after that, I was a regular host. So I continued until 2016, I think, I finally resigned. And it was wonderful. I missed it a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, that tells us about when you started hosting. And then since then, I believe that CJ, you came on at what time?
Well, CJ was before me, actually. Okay.
Yeah, I came on about the year 2000, I guess, or 1999. I'm not really quite sure. Yeah, that story was that Tom Wodeski mentioned a radio show and asked if I wanted to be on it. I thought, well, no, I don't really want to do that. But shortly after, David Barsamian was in town. He was a guest speaker at the Alliance for Democracy in one of the talks that we used to have. And he talked about encouraging people to be on the radio. And he said, anybody can be on the radio. He said, if you can drive a car, you can be on the radio. And I thought to myself, well, I can drive a car. And so I did. I told Tom I would do it. And so that's when I got started. And I did it for several years. And I was there. And it was a great experience.
Super.
But I would encourage anybody else who's listening, if they have a chance, you can do it. If you can drive a car, you can be on the radio.
Okay, and so the early organizations, and POCLAD was involved. Again, that's the Program on Corporations, Law, and Democracy. The Alliance for Democracy was founded in those years, in the late 90s, and an organization called CELDEF was involved to some degree then. Can someone mention how they were involved?
Well, CELDEF had been started about that time. This is Jim Tarbell. And at the same time the Alliance for Democracy started, they started in Pennsylvania to organize small towns where hog farms were coming in and destroying the environment. And they pointed out that central Pennsylvania is, Pennsylvania has, Pittsburgh on one side and Philadelphia on the other and Mississippi in the middle. Very conservative, but these little towns did not like having these hog farms come in and destroy their environment. And they came up with this concept of community rights, that communities have a right to clean air, water, and soil. And they were lawyers. He was an old Nader Raider. And they set up this whole program of how you can write these local ordinances to make sure that corporations don't come in and ruin your town. And we had a lot on the radio, and he spoke at one of our conventions in Tucson, in fact, I think.
Mm-hmm. Super. I was curious to ask each of you, the elders here in the program, who some of your favorite early guests were. And so, Tom, do you want to comment, or is any come to mind, your favorite programs or favorite guests?
Well, probably my favorite would be with Noam Chomsky. That was really a delight to get to converse with him, someone I've respected for years and has been a guiding light to lots of us. I also interviewed Holly Neer, who's a Potter Valley lady who's been, her whole life has been dedicated to the movement, and I was glad to bring her in and interview her. That's a couple of my favorites. Tony?
I was with Tom with Noam Chomsky, and of course that was exciting. I also managed to get Howard Zinn on the show once, and that was really thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
We had him and Ray Raphael on at the same time, so that was great. And then also we did Ralph Nader once. We had Ralph Nader on, which was interesting. I also really enjoyed some of the more local shows and where we tackled local issues, such as mill site issues, just all kinds of issues. One of my favorite, I did a number of shows on the healthcare issue, single-payer healthcare. Mm-hmm. I had Don Beckler and Dr. McCann, who were both healthcare activists. Don Beckler, unfortunately, is not with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure about McCann, but we did lots of shows on the healthcare, and that was really, really exciting. We had a lot of positive response to those shows. Francis Moore LaPay was another one we had on. That was one of my favorites. And then I did a Rights of Nature show with Cormac Cullinan, who mm-hmm. I believe is from Australia, and that was really interesting. And some people are actually trying to apply some of that to the GP mill site these days.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yes, that's one of the local issues that's getting some play on the coast. It's still not a major news item, as plenty of background maneuvering goes on legally in
right.
the legal world, but that's going to be more public, I think, in the sometime in the coming months. Jim, your favorite shows?
One of the favorite things that I did in my experience was to go to different events around the country, in fact, internationally, and do reports back. We reported back from the Democratic and Republican conventions in 2004 and the Democratic and Republican conventions in 2008. Also, in 2002, I think, I was in Quito, Ecuador, in the middle of a free trade of the area, free trade area of the Americas demonstration and conference, trying to stop these crazy free trade agreements where, you know, the big corporations were coming out and buying out these little countries. And I had Leila Salazar, who's now head of Amazon Watch, and others who were there. I was down there with the Global Exchange. And that was a great kick. And then one time we were in Miami a year later at FDA protests against the free trade of the Americas, standing in front of the Hall of Justice. And just as we were going on the air, the police declared that it was an illegal assembly and we all had to get out. So we were running, and it was quite speaking at the same time. I was with a whole group of it's called Code Orange, I think, that was out there protesting and making big puppets. And so we were carrying these puppets around, talking, being chased by the police. An exciting radio.
And CJ, what were some of your favorites?
Well, the one that I certainly remember the most was, I guess it must have been 1999, and I was scheduled to do the show on the Friday immediately after the Battle of Seattle. And I was reporting on that, and I remember driving back from Seattle, and there was Jim and Tom and Tony on the Green Tortoise.
Yeah.
And I was preparing to do the show on the way back, and it turned out to be a pretty good show. It was a pretty important issue, obviously, at the time, and that was one of the first, news shows about the WTO that was done, certainly in Mendocino County. So I do remember that one, and that was turned out to be a great show. Yeah.
And there was quite a number of the past hosts were part of that event, the WTO event in Seattle that year?
Yeah, in fact, we happen to have one of the organizers right here with us, Linda McClure, who got two buses to go.
You want to comment on that, Linda?
Well, that was fun. I always think of it as Disneyland for activists, because that town was on fire.
That it was.
I worked at the Environmental Center and heard that the WTO was meeting in Seattle, which was our backyard. So I had no money, But I chartered one green tortoise bus, signed for it, like thousands of dollars, and that filled up immediately. So I nervously signed up or chartered a second bus, and luckily that there was enough there to pay for the buses. So that was a good time. Annie, you were up there too.
Oh yeah, that was a blast. We really had so much fun in the streets. I couldn't believe it, even though there was tear gas everywhere, and that did take its toll. But I remember one of my favorite slogans was Teamsters and Turtles Together, because there was a lot of labor unions there along with the environmentalists, and that was really a pretty cool thing to have. And Linda, I know you were joking earlier about how you kept trying to get arrested no matter what you did. You would get dragged across the street and set aside or something, and nobody ever arrests you. But I also remember it was the first time I saw the speaking circles, where there would be somebody would have some information, and then they would call it out, and then everybody would turn around and repeat it in a loud voice to the people behind them, and then they would turn around and repeat it so that hundreds of us would find out what was going on. And I just thought that was such a great... The spokespersons would go to these initial meetings and then manage to spread it to hundreds of people. I thought it was really some really good techniques were at work there. Yeah. But unfortunately, it worked so well that ever since then they've had all these big summit meetings at some place that's totally inaccessible. They learned some tricks too, I think.
I think it's important to point out to the listeners that it was a protest against the World Trade Organization, WTO, and this was the beginning of really pushing corporate globalization, which was, you know, to the corporations loved it. We're going to make a lot of money, but it did mean that we lost lots of factories. And even today, we're paying the costs by a lot of areas, communities that are bereft of their factories, and the people are unemployed and embittered. And when people get embittered and feel hopeless, they often turn towards fascism. Mm-hmm. If you get someone like a Trump that will tell them to blame anybody else, immigrants, something like that, never the corporations who pushed it all. And I think so. We were prescient in that time to be trying to point that out to America, and turns out that we were right. Mm-hmm.
That was Tom speaking there. And CJ, you mentioned that you did one of the programs somewhat live on the way back from that, but I believe there was also plenty of discussion of the WTO event coming up on programs before in talking up the bus trip going and such. And who was involved in those programs?
Well, let's see, you know,
all of you.
Yeah, and we had the speaker series going on once a month, and mm-hmm. I think the biggest one we had Kevin Danaher and David Barsamy on here, mm-hmm. and had them on the radio. And
Medea Benjamin also came and spoke, and still active in these issues.
Yeah, and there were some young female activists that really organized a lot of it that came up here. I can't remember their names at this point, but there were a lot of people who came here and talked, and then we interviewed on the radio. And the radio had a lot to do with filling up those buses. That was when I really understood the power of the radio, that we could talk about it, and suddenly it was getting some results.
Mm-hmm. Let me slip a reminder in that we're having a little reunion party here. This is the 25th anniversary of Corporations and Democracy. It went on the air in, I believe it was October, not September, of 1998. And we have with us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, looking at the Zoom call, of programmers from the past. And by the way, I wanted to slip in that for me, one of the memorable programs for me and Annie, I think, together, was a live program. It was David Swanson, and he was live from New York City during the big protests after the big downturn in 2008 or 2009 it was. And in the aftermath of that, I forget the name.
The Occupy
movement at that time. And so we had him live one time, and that was exciting to have him.
Mm-hmm. Can I just mention something else?
Of course, that's Tony.
Talking about, some of the, I mentioned we did local issues. That was really great. And some of those that we had shows on that I think helped those issues was Measure H, which was banning GMOs, genetically modified organisms, in Mendocino County.
Mm-hmm.
And we did shows on that. And
which is something that passed by the voters, educated by this radio station.
57% to 43% it passed.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was in 2004. In 2012, there was the move to amend measure, which was Measure F, and that one passed 75 to 25%. We did shows on that one. And then also Measure S in 2014, which was the Community Bill of Rights, which we also had shows on and promoted, and that one passed as well. So,
another issue would be the timber wars of the, I guess, the 90s and early 20s, mm-hmm. noughts. And we did, one of the guests was Julia Butterfly Hill, who had lived up in the top of a redwood tree for 2 years up in, what's the name of that forest? Became the
Headwaters
Forest,
mm-hmm.
and succeeded in getting that vast area saved. So there are a lot of local issues as well as worldwide issues that this program has spoken to over the last quarter century.
Mm-hmm. And wanting to keep the program balanced, I must mention one of the other issues back, this was 2016, that was on a ballot. That was the Mendocino County Charter Initiative. It failed, unfortunately. That went down by 53.6% versus 46.4%. So, but it may be back. We'll see. I know that's still an interest of plenty of people in the county, and so who knows. Well, this is formerly a project of the Alliance for Democracy, so I thought it'd be a good opportunity to talk a little about the Alliance. By the way, we will be taking calls at the bottom of the hour, so if anyone wants to call in, be patient for a few minutes, and then we'll be taking calls. The Alliance was formed around that time, and that was in the aftermath of a great bit of literature written in an article in The Nation magazine by a fellow named Ronnie Duggar, who was also, I guess, I don't know if any of you hosted him back then. Was
mm-hmm.
It was,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that then?
Well, you mean Ronnie coming here?
Yes, Ronnie coming here.
And then Ronnie came here to one of these, first Friday meetings that we had at Town Hall,
uh-huh.
and packed the house. And he's a little like a Southern preacher. He got everybody riled up, and he got them so riled up that the next week we had a meeting in the little library community room,
mm-hmm.
and it was packed to form a chapter, Alliance for Democracy.
Okay, so that's when the Coast chapter here.
Yeah, that's when the Coast chapter began. Mm-hmm.
And his main stick was that, again, the corporations have taken control of our country and almost destroyed our democracy, and we have to focus on that part to kind of to solve all the other problems. Deal with that one first, and we're still struggling on that one.
Yeah, and his saying was that the issue isn't the issues; the issue is the system.
Mm-hmm.
That there's systemic problems, you know, in our election process, in our lobbying process,
and
our political
politics,
process.
Just
it's the system. So mm-hmm. we've always concentrated on that.
Yeah. We spoke of a few wins locally for community rights and such here in the county, and some things have gone the other way. So plenty of listeners are familiar with the Citizens United decision of 2010. Uh-huh. And at that time, the program had been on the air for 12 years, and we've certainly talked about that decision. But that was, you know, unlimited money from corporations in politics, a real shame. But, I also wanted to mention the name of that article that Ronnie Duggar was in The Nation magazine. That was the August 14th to 21st edition of 1995. The title was A Call to Citizens. Will Real Populists Please Stand Up?
And the thousands around the country did.
Yeah, indeed. So, and I wanted to mention a few other things about the Alliance for Democracy. By the way, it's online at thealliancefordemocracy.org. The mission is to create a true democracy to end corporate domination of politics, economics, and media, and to build a just and sustainable society for nature and all people. And they have several different campaigns they are running right now, and some others that are not active at the moment, but one of them called Local Food Rules to promote community self-governance of food and traditional food exchanges through municipal ordinances and such, and that's active in a few parts of the country. It was most active for a while in the state of Maine, of all places. The Trade Justice Program, and that's one that opposes undemocratic multinational trade deals that enshrine corporate power over the will of the people. There is Demand the Constitution. That is a program which we've had guests on periodically over the years. The Move to Amend program, some people might be familiar with, and I think there is the website Move to Amend.
Yes,
and that is about amending the Constitution to say that corporations are not people and money is not speech, basically counter to a few Supreme Court decisions which have gone the other way, the wrong way, and over the years, one of them being Citizens United, and a few others are involved with this corporate personhood fantasy that I make fun of, but it's a bit but sad nonetheless. And there's a program called Defending Water for Life, that is to help keep municipal water under the public control and to end the extraction of water for bottled water and opposing bulk exports of water to other nations and other parts of the world. And one that's popular these days is the Public Banking Initiative. We will continue to have programs about that and have in the past. That is to promote cities and states to create their own publicly owned banks. That's where government revenues can be deposited and used to back loans for community purposes, such as infrastructure and housing, as opposed to banking with the major corporate banks, which are in the news so often for flat-out criminal behavior. Mm-hmm. And anyone knows about that who's had accounts opened by the banks on them, and you're on the hook for whatever fees they want to charge to you, unless you fight them against them. And lastly, the people's vote must count. That's one of my favorite issues. It's about election integrity. It's a program to try and implement paper ballot voting and stop electronic election theft and restore transparency and public oversight to elections.
I think certainly a crucial issue is the issue of money and politics that we mentioned here, and we've had several speakers about that. Common Cause works on that, National Group, and also Public Citizens. And then we've had the California group, I think it's called Clean Money, California Clean Money. Mm-hmm. And all of these are trying to, as long as the big corporations and rich people can flood our election campaigns with money, they're going to buy politicians. And that's what's happened and why our Congress today does not represent the will of the people, as shown in lots of polls that mm-hmm. show that they just keep passing things that are not what the people want.
That reminds me of one of the studies that is quoted online at, I believe it's at the Alliance for Democracy site. It might be at communityrights.us. where a study was done at Princeton, I believe, and it's just a year or two ago that did a thorough analysis and concluded that we live in an oligarchy more than a democracy.
Mm-hmm. Meaning the wealthy people rule.
Yes.
So another program that the Alliance for Democracy has taken up is around the commons, about trying to stop the commons from being privatized, and they mm-hmm. created something called the Tapestry of the Commons. In fact, Jan Edwards, who's not with us tonight, but was a co-host of Corporations and Democracy, redesigned and put together this Tapestry of the Commons, which she and Molly Morgan took all over the country, I think, with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and to teach people about the commons and how important they are, and what they are, what they really mean, the natural commons, the cultural commons, and how we really need to hang on to them. So it's been an important message to get across.
Mm-hmm. In my part, my education in these issues really began after I retired in 2001, and I started getting involved, and we developed a inland Ukiah Valley chapter of the Alliance for Democracy, and the whole idea of the commons was new to me. It was just, not something taught in school, it's not something I learned when I grew up, but especially in old English and Irish nations and elsewhere in Europe, the commons had meaning. That was part and belonged to everybody, and everyone could actually, there was a Boston Commons that was in the old, you know, the early years, even pre-revolution times. But you know, anyone could have their cattle, you know, there and you know, graze there and this kind of thing. And some people would be living there temporarily and such. But the whole idea of public property for general use, you know, that's privatization has overcome that, you know, over the centuries. But there is some things that are still a commons, like the air we breathe and the water we drink. So, still an issue. If you'd like to call in with a question or comment, the number here is 895-2448. And there was a call or two before the show, so I'm pretty sure the phone line should be working. Again, 895-2448. And we're here with numerous guests from the beginnings of Corporations and Democracy in 1998. Tom Wodecki is with us, Jim Tarbell, Tony Rizzo, C.J. Jones, Linda McClure, and Annie Esposito, and I, Steve Scalmanini. Again, 895-2448. And here comes our first call. Hello, caller. You are live on the air. What's your first name, and from where are you calling?
I did. This is Mama Randy.
Hi, Randy.
From over here in Willits. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear all you comrades and just fellow believers in hope and prayers for a better tomorrow and a better today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was Barbara Champion in Casper, and I think her in-home support lady, Sandra Patterson, and Captain Fathom, Alan Graham from Albion, went up to the battle in Seattle. And my mother was so thrilled that she could get a report from the people there and from KZYX that she was on the front lines with everybody, you know, and she got a was able to participate in a vicarious way. But it was really important, the radio and the fact that you all were there and making it real, keeping it real. And I also, I remember Tom Wodecki when we had the Moonlight, when you were Moonlight, we had the movies, Potpourri. We had a movie showing every Saturday, and we had different for about a year. We'd get different films. And I was thinking, I picked up, I'm going through some scrapbook papers, and what was United Stand and the Class K battle? Because that was part of it, too, when people were building out their own houses. Mm-hmm. And I have a, I didn't read the United States paper, but I've got a 2-3 page newsletter that was made, and if any of you can remember, to you know, what was United Stand?
Well, I should probably answer that, and I'm going to hang up and put the next caller on hold.
Good. Thank you, dear.
Thanks for your call.
Okay. Thank you,
caller. I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. Okay, United Stand. There's a little story I can tell about that, which I don't think the public knows about. So, a couple of months ago, there was a 50-year reunion. I believe it was 50-year. Of United Stand,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right. This occurred. It was a private event, but it was held at the home of a daughter of one of the originators of that program. Her name is Anon Forrest, and several people from the Mid Mountain area of Mendocino County were at this event. And the guest of honor is someone that does not live far from here, actually about halfway to the Central Valley from here, and then off the road by maybe 10 miles or so, but none other than ex-Governor Jerry Brown. And Governor Brown and Ms. Forrest stayed in touch roughly over those years and decided to have a you know, get-together after so many years. And all those publications that you mentioned, including a few newspaper editions, I think was Green Fuse one of them, and I forget what else. But they were there, spread out there, and you know, there was a reunion of this particular group. I don't know how what other parts of the county were involved back in the 70s with this. But the group from the Mid-Mountain area did get together and have a reunion after 50 years, and it just was a few months ago.
And I have a Class K house up in Potter Valley in the Mid-Mountains, so that's why I was there. And so we were all delighted to find out that Jerry Brown was living off the grid in the hills himself, or maybe not the hills, but anyway, in a rural situation. But he had to admit that he had gotten all the permits.
So it was the fight, though, that people who were living in homes they built themselves, the county's planning department was saying those are illegal, they got to be red tagged and torn down. Mm-hmm. And so people united, stood together to fight that, and did succeed in getting a compromise called Class K, meaning cabin, where you could keep those buildings if you brought them up to a certain standard for health and safety.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will bring in the next caller now. Caller, I apologize for leaving you on hold for so long, but you are on the air. What's your first name and from where are you calling?
My first name is Anne Marie, and I'm calling from Albion. Mm-hmm. I wanted to thank you for the show, and I wanted to thank everybody for what they've done and are still doing. Listening to issues about Measure H and Measure S, and also what Randy talked about Class K, made me think of the precautionary principle, which got adopted by the Board of Supervisors back in around 2006 or 2009, and it's maybe not something that your group was really instrumental with. I forgot who was on this committee and made that happen. I know Deborah, who used to work at Corners, was involved. She no longer is among us. But it's unfortunate that the county doesn't seem to really look at that issue, and even though it got adopted, that maybe somebody else has some more information who was part of that group to make this happen.
Thanks for bringing that up, Anne Marie. This is Tony, by the way. I remember that, and I think we did do a show or two on that, although I know I wasn't in the group, but we did do some shows on that precautionary principle issue.
Jim, are you going to add something?
No, okay. But just what Tony was saying, we certainly did shows on precautionary principle.
It seems like that even though it passed in the county because of all that work, I don't think it ever got looked at. It never got enforced. It was just shunned on.
No, like hack and squirt.
Yeah. I'm trying to pull a name out of memory. And was it Britt, someone?
Yes, Britt.
Oh, from
Annie, Mark? You want to go?
No, because I'm forgetting too. But it was Britt and Mark, and they were on the coast, and they probably worked with you, Marie.
From Point Arena.
Point Arena.
Britt was from Point Arena. Anyway.
Okay, but yes, and the precautionary principle was adopted at that time, and it hasn't been pushed since then, and I don't know of an issue particularly that where it could have been or should have been, but it's on the books, so when the time comes, we'll be able to use that. There was another caller that I think I might have accidentally dropped a minute ago, so I apologize, and if you call back, I will pick up, and we'll continue with callers.
Can I?
Oh. Yes. Okay, here comes our next caller. Hello, caller. You're live on the air. What's your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Nancy Price. I'm calling from Davis, California.
Hi, Nancy.
Nancy Price.
Welcome to the air. Oh, and turn your radio off in the background, please.
Yep, I am. Well, I'm just calling in to say hello to everybody. I think not only do I recognize your names, of course, but I think I would recognize your voices on the radio, and I just wanted to say congratulations for founding the radio program and keeping it going all these years. It's just wonderful.
And we should point out that Nancy is the co-chair of the Alliance for National co-chair of the Alliance for Democracy, and has been there for a long time. Spent hours and hours on these issues.
Well, maybe so. So have you, Jim. So is everybody in the room. But I just wanted to also say that perhaps, Jim, you would speak about our next issue of Justice Rising coming up. That's one of our great features. It's been, we've worked on that since the early 2000s and have many issues. It can be found online at the www.thealliancefordemocracy.org under Justice Rising. And we're working on featuring peace and opposing war in the next issue.
Yeah, this is a publication that we started in 2005 that I've been the editor of ever since. It's a thematic publication. We call it a periodical. It comes out like birthing a baby. It just comes when it comes and not until. And this particular issue is called Establishing Peace in a World Without War. The last one was on violence and the military-industrial complex. It's kind of a two-part series.
Disarming violence on a path toward peace.
Yes. And, you know, it's a great issue. It looks at what kind of partnership culture we need to create, the cultural changes we have to make, and how we can move away from the military-industrial complex to how the people can control and move the money away from the military and into all the needs of society.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. So I'll just let you go on and hope you all wear your WTO ponchos when it rains, because we had those wonderful red, green, and yellow ponchos. You can see them in the film, The Battle for Seattle. Mm-hmm. And on the front it said, The Battle of Seattle, Protest of the Century. Well, we're still working hard on free trade versus fair trade.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Thanks a lot, and I'll listen to you next program. Thanks,
Nancy.
Bye, Nancy.
Bye, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in, Nancy. Bye-bye. Okay, 895-2448, if you'd like to call in. I wanted to mention a few other ongoing activities, organizations, call them what you will. Every Monday morning, I don't know how many of you get this, but I get the Real Democracy History Calendar. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think it's a remnant of POCA. Then I'll forward it to you. And so it's a few pages long. Matter of fact, I brought an example here somewhere, and it talks about particular dates in history when some milestone occurred regarding corporate rights. Mm-hmm. And in fact, a week ago's edition that had a date in it when the publication of the timeline of corporate rights was created.
Which was Jan Edwards, Jan once Edwards again, created that.
Thank you, Jan, if you're listening. Here it is here, yeah. So here is this week's edition, just came out, like I said, on Monday. It's for the September 18th to 24th. Mentions a few things, like first item, 1850 on September 18th, passage of the Fugitive Slave Act. Very relevant for looking at how manipulation in Washington affects, you know, what goes on in the states and in the economy. In 1913, same date, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Federal Reserve Act. And it goes on from there. There's about six pages of this.
If I could just comment on Jan's timeline, I found that so put things in a context that helped understand why corporations have so much power. And what I found interesting, she researched that, worked really hard on it. What I found interesting was corporations have been given their rights through the courts. And we have gotten our rights through hard battles in the legislature. So that's why they have the rights.
And that is still online. If you just Google, I think, the corporate timeline, the corporate rights timeline.
It's a great tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great tool.
I'll add, I had difficulty finding it.
Oh, you did?
I did. There's other articles that have been written which come up first, and it was very difficult to find the actual timeline that was created by Jan. And we do have another call here. Let me pot that one up. Okay, caller, you're live on the air. What's your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Chuck, and I'm calling from Mendocino. And I'd like anybody who can to comment on Citizens United, what's happening with it, what can be done about it.
Well, okay.
Well, you know, a lot of
Jim
people,
Tarbell.
A lot of people came together as that decision was about to be made. People could see that the court was going to rule in favor of opening up all the campaign money to be free flowing, and a group got together that eventually became what's called Move to Amend. I was at a meeting in San Rafael where a whole coalition of groups came together, including the Alliance for Democracy and others, and came up with this idea. And Move to Amend is still going strong to try to amend the Constitution of the United States to make sure that money is not speech, and that corporations don't have the rights of human beings. And it's an ongoing project. They've done a great job, and it's under movetoamend.org. And I recommend everybody checking that out.
Caller, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute.
Okay, I'm with you.
Okay, and I wanted to mention, because Citizens United and the issues that it addresses, you know, things may get worse before they get better. and that reminds me to mention, this is a topic we will cover in a future show in more detail, but I want to read at least the title of an article. This is from a couple months ago in June. But here's the title: The State That May Let Corporations Vote in Elections. So there's some municipalities in the, it's in Delaware. So that the subtitle is Delaware Democrats Could Pass GOP Legislation Letting Business Cast Ballots in a Municipal Election. So this is a town of, Seaford in Maryland, and they are Democrats in Delaware are now advancing a Republican bill that would allow corporations to directly vote in a municipal election.
Yeah, so they are working on having that happen, but it actually was in effect for a time, and they had found that there was one person that had voted 19 times.
Yes, as a corporation, with 19 different businesses, apparently.
Aye.
That caught the public's attention, so they are working on fixing that. But it is you know, an uproar now in Maryland.
I like the saying that I'll believe corporations are people when Texas executes one.
You know, speaking of which, though, and some listeners will know that, you know, corporations have been quote unquote executed in the past. They have had their corporate charters pulled. There are historic points where this has happened. A famous one was the Second Bank of the United States. Their charter was pulled by President Andrew Jackson, and it was assumedly 1830s, maybe the late 20s. But you know, it had happened for misbehavior. But in this day and age, of course, that's unheard of. Well, some of us miss that very much. Let's take this next caller, who I believe can hear us. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller. Can you hear us? And you're live on the air. What's your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Frida. I'm calling from Fort Bragg. And I want to say two life-changing interviews that I believe were part of Corporations and Democracy. And those were Vandana Shiva. Mm-hmm. And also Percy Schmeiser.
Schmeiser.
Oh, yes.
Schmeiser, yes. And lit a fire under my butt, that's for sure. So, and I'd love to hear what those experiences might have been like. And also the bringing of Vandana Shiva to Willits, yes?
Yeah. Vandana Shiva came to Willits, and also Percy Schmeiser came to Fort Bragg.
Yes.
In the middle of Measure H, I guess it was, in the GMO measure, mm-hmm. Percy Schmeiser debated the very conservative mayor of Fort Bragg about whether people should support this measure to get GMOs out. And it was a fabulous, fabulous event because Schmeiser was just unbelievably good.
He was a Canadian farmer, right?
Yes,
yeah. He was a Canadian farmer being sued by Monsanto because some seeds had blown onto his property.
Yeah, so his canola had been contaminated. His non-GMO canola had been contaminated by Monsanto's GMO canola, and Monsanto sued him, and they won, I believe, in the Canadian Supreme Court. So I don't know what happened to the issue since then, and that's, you know, it's pushing, well, that's pushing 20 years. By the way, we will have a program about the 20-year reunion next year about Measure H. But anyway, yeah, that case went to the Canadian Supreme Court, and people were on pins and needles waiting for a decision, and the decision went against the individual farmer, Percy Schmeiser.
And then with Vandana Shiva, I was driving when I heard her being interviewed, and I couldn't do that. I had to pull over and just listen to everything she had to say, which was, I mean, it shook my world, really. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
895-2448, if you'd like to get in the last minutes of the program. I'd like to put in one other plug here. I mentioned the Real Democracy History Calendar, which you can find online at therealdemocracyhistorycalendar.wordpress.com. And then there's a site that's run by one of the guests we've had a few times, Paul Cienfuegos, out of Portland, and that is about the Community Rights Movement. And his website is communityrights.us. And he has a U.S. map of locations that have community rights ordinances, as we do here in Mendocino County, and ordinances by state, and a timeline of when the ordinances were developed throughout the country. So I want to mention that again, communityrights.us. A few other local organizations a little bit involved in the aftermath of those issues or those organizations in the past. Grassroots Institute of Mendocino County. That was started. When did it actually get going?
Well, you know, the Grassroots Institute is really what we call a doing business as of the Mendocino Coast chapter of the Alliance for Democracy. Mm-hmm. So it came out of that. We had a little bank account, and it's gotten bigger. Grassroots Institute, we started teaching courses in 2015 at Mendocino College, taught them in Fort Bragg, taught them in Ukiah, taught them in Willits on corporations and grassroots solutions to corporate power, and then did classes on creating an economy for the common good in Mendocino County, and are now working on a whole series of working groups, working on the mill side, and Steve Scalmanini is very involved in all that, and working on a climate crisis and many other issues here in Mendocino County.
And that's with Carrie Durkee, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Carrie Durkee. Carrie and I started that out, right. Okay.
And that was Jim, and then Linda in the background a little. We have our last call here. Caller, you're live on the air. Whoops, let me turn your volume up. You are live on the air. What's your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob in Willits.
Hello, Bob.
And I've been around a long time, and hi. I've heard you a long time through the whole history of the radio station, and I have to say Corporations and Democracy it's just been a real landmark and you know, a guiding light of our radical history and traditions, and I've appreciated all your shows and all of the personnel that have contributed.
Well, I appreciate the compliment.
Show.
We're all cheering here in the background.
It's well deserved.
Thank you.
There's one individual. There's somebody who's, I cannot remember his name. He had a show on in the morning for a long time, and he was a champion of the Palestinian people, the Palestinian nation.
Jeffrey Blankford.
And
Jeffrey Blankford. Takes on the world. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
I've been trying to remember his name for a couple of years now, and I'm really grateful to hear his name and have it go out over the air. Thank you, Jeffrey, as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, good to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bye-bye. And Jeffrey is fine and in retirement, but living in the hills in outside Ukiah. And if anyone wants to reach him, just reach me, and I'll put you in contact. So we have just, it's a half a minute left or so. So let me pass along a thanks to everyone here, to Tom Odetsky.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jim Tarbell, Tony Rizzo, CJ.
Thank you. CJ. Yeah, nice being here.
Wonderful being back.
Linda McClure.
Yeah.
And Annie in the background. This has been Corporations and Democracy, and this monthly program on third Thursday, 7 o'clock. We'll be back in a month, and thanks for listening.